Welcome back to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. This is Monday Brown Bagger. And the two songs you just heard were from Tom Cockburn and Queen. And I think those are two great songs to listen to because of the fact is we have to get change. We cannot continue on with the exact same systems we have in place because all we're doing is we're allowing the darkness to continue. And the next guest that we're going to have on is a 20-year combat veteran. And at the same time, what happens is he's also a member of the Iraq Veterans Against War. And he was in the first Gulf War. And his name is Leonard Shelton. Thank you, Leonard, for coming on. Hello? Okay, it looks like we're having... are you there, Leonard? It looks like we're having a little bit of technical problems there. We do apologize for the equipment. And I would just like to say that when I was listening to those two songs, what I got out of it was that we can't continue on with the exact same thing, but at the same time, we can't forget about the past crimes that the people have done. And we have to hold them accountable for the past crimes, so we can't ignore the war crimes that were done by the Bush administration. We have to have a modern-day Nuremberg, and they have to be held accountable for what they've done in the court of law. Hello, Leonard?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Not a problem.
And the first thing is that you're a 20-year combat veteran from the Marine Corps, and you did this one video YouTube piece, and it touched me really an awful lot. You said you can't get gun peace with a gun. Could you explain a little bit further also what you said during that piece?
Well, what happened was we were on a Iraq Veterans Against the War bus tour, and I was interviewed. And I was explaining how I felt about the war, and you can't get peace with a gun. An illegal occupation, an illegal evasion of another country does not bring peace to them. And that's what this administration has done. And I was bringing that point, and actually I was kind of surprised that I actually knew that that was going to be part of a documentary. So I guess I understand some people do agree with me with that.
And what we're seeing right now with the mainstream media is they're playing the glorification of war. At the same time, we have the Hollywood's doing the exact same thing with the movies, and you're having the exact same thing being done with all different aspects of our culture. You know, as you've seen war, well, when you were at the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, and what happens is, could you please share with our listening audience, you know, how that your unit lost the first American casualty, and what the real truth of war is, because hopefully that'll be waking some people's eyes up.
Yeah, what happened, it was the 29th of January, 1991, and there was Iraqi tanks coming from the north to the south attacking one of our units. We weren't a tank-killing fighting unit. We only had certain weapons that could destroy those weapon systems. And during that fight on that particular night, some of my friends lost their lives by friendly fire on that day. And it was a very horrible experience. That was the first time I've ever seen anyone die. And it was something that is not glorified. It's something that is not brought to people's attention of what war is really like. And once you actually see something like that, I don't know too many people who will want to see it again. And I happen to be one of those people who never wants to see anything like that again. And it changed my perspective on death. It's a little different for me. I see a service member... and learn of his death or her death, and it hurts more. And I've had three family members who have just died of natural causes, and I actually didn't have any effect on me at all. And I don't know what it's done to me, but it's definitely changed something inside of me.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I saw the effects of what happened when a war to a landscape, the end result when I was in Iran in 1988, when right after the Iraq-Iran war ended. And all I saw was destruction, blown up buildings, tanks, and burned out tanks on the side of the road. We're talking buildings that were collapsing, black shawls over top of door frames, people that looked like their soul was gone.
Yeah.
And yet, you know what? What really angers me sometimes is when I see people playing these video games and they're sitting there and they're going, they're talking about, oh yeah, I played this one game right here by Tom Clancy and other people that put out these video games, and they're talking about how great that game is, and I'm looking at them going, have you ever been into a real life situation like that? And they're talking about how, oh yeah, if I was in that, I'd do this, if I was in that, I'd do that. And just I'm looking at them going, no, more than likely if you're in that, you would probably be hiding, or you would not realize that, you know, it's nothing like the game. In a game, they keep coming back to life. In real life, people don't come back to life. And that's
exactly.
and that's what I wish people would start realizing, because then maybe we can bring about the real change that needs to be brought about.
Yeah, and we do need that. They're not telling the people the truth. They don't want them to know the truth. There was a report that I read the other day. I can't remember what newspaper article that was online that I read. But the numbers of suicides have increased, and it's now higher than the actual deaths of military personnel who have died in Iraq. So it's more now. And they're not telling the media that. The media is not putting that out. Mainstream media is not putting that out. And furthermore, they would advertise soldiers and Marines, service members coming back, and how the medical establishment has, if they were in previous wars, they would have died, but with the medical attention that they're receiving now, they're alive. But they're not having a good quality of life. You know, not with their legs gone, their arms gone, half their face missing. Psychological scars that can't be healed. That's not quality of life. And that information is not getting out. And it's sad, and they keep recruiting more and more kids to go into this occupation to kill people because that's what they want to do. And it's wrong. And all the resources, all the money is just being taken and swallowed out of the country to go make something in another country with no help for the people who return back to the United States.
Yeah, and also we have to, I remember one time, I heard a report one time where the actual number of the casualty number for the American soldiers that are dead is much higher than what it is because of the fact is they don't include the American soldiers that are also that die on way to Germany or die on way to United States. Is that they don't consider that in theater. What they consider that, you know, it's casual, sort of basically it's after the fact, like you're saying. So I've heard the actual numbers or could be as high as 18 to 25,000 people.
Yeah, it could be. I wish I could get those numbers, but when I see the numbers that they have posted on different websites and things, I actually believe the number is higher. They don't want to tell the truth. It's sad. It's really debilitating, and lives are being totally destroyed. They're training people to hate another group of people. I don't know if anyone would not want to defend their own country or their own home if someone was coming from another area to invade and take it over. I mean, I think anyone would want to fight for something that belongs to them. You know? Well, I just don't like it at all.
And also, I was wondering, I also watched this Iraq Veteran Against War, Madison, 2008 part 3, and you were talking about all the emotions and what you've gone through and everything, and at this time how the VA is treating you, and I was wondering how you could talk, if you could talk a little bit about that, because it's very important for people to understand that the Medicare given to the veterans is not as high as what people in other job aspects can actually get.
Yeah, what happened during the testimony, I was explaining my experience at the VA hospital in Brecksville, Ohio. They had some Marines that were killed out of Ohio, and they were all over the newspapers, all over the local television sets, and I just, my emotions was just rumbling all over the place. So the VA hospital, I was angry, I was sad, I just couldn't ground myself. And so the hospital staff thought it would be a good idea for me to be suspended and banned from treatment for 30 days. But that was the reason why I was supposedly in the hospital, to get treatment. And so kicking me out of the hospital after that happened to me, I decided not to go there anymore. And I did go off and on, but I wasn't in a manner of actually looking to seek anything from them. And the stigma behind with some people when they know that you're a veteran and you've been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, you have this label, and people sometimes think you are crazy, or you have to stay away from those type of people. It's a real bad stigma, and I've lost many family members who actually don't even talk to me. I haven't seen my children, nor talked to them, nor do I know where they are, and it's going on 5 years out of a 10-year marriage. But the government ensures that she receives child support payments, but I get no parental time with my children and no legal help at all in the matter. And in fact, there was a National Guardsman from Ohio a couple of months ago who came back with PTSD, spent a year in Iraq, and he got divorced from his wife, and then the judge allowed him to, allowed the wife to take the children and move to Israel. And what he did, he killed himself because he had no access to his children. So these are some of the things that happen that people are not getting information about, and it's happened to me. So I keep going because I know the more I can tell the truth, to let people know that I'm not the only one, and it's happening to people, and people need to know about it.
Well, the exact same thing in Canada is happening here. Is that we had a veteran who's basically from the Canadian Armed Forces. He was a recent veteran. He served from, I think he served about 2002, and so I only served in 1995. So he was not more recent with information. And he said, well, I went to his talk one time, and his name's Paco. And he said that before Afghanistan, the Canadian people did not know anything about the veterans from the Canadian military. And I looked right at him and I thought to myself, how true. Most Canadians looked at someone that served in the military as being second-class citizen. And I'm appalled at how they used to treat the veterans. And I remember in Calgary, Alberta, walking down the street, and there was this elderly gentleman that served in World War II. He had a table out, and he had to basically go and, he was begging for money because Veterans Affairs wouldn't give him enough money to survive. And what happens is everyone else, or their three-piece suits, are walking around thinking to themselves, oh, look how good I am. And I'm looking at them going, yeah, you wouldn't have everything if it wasn't for that gentleman over there. Now, I'm not a backer of war, but at the same time, I am a backer of people. We have to help out our veterans. We have to help out the people that went into the military because of the fact we can't turn our back on human beings. That's who these people are. They're human beings. They're not an object. They're not a body. They're a human being.
That's right. And a lot of people don't see it that way. They say, well, he's just a veteran, while they have their lavish cars and big houses and the veteran is getting crumbs. I mean, I served 20 years and my retirement paycheck is $207 a month. I mean, what kind of thank you is that? Or appreciation, to have all these things deducted from my paycheck and then don't explain it to me, and no support or no help in that manner of where this money is being taken out of my check and where my children are. It's like I served. I did my job. I did what you wanted me to do. But now that I'm no good to you anymore, you don't care. Which also lets me know you never cared to begin with.
So that's just like basically back when the Vietnam was over, a lot of American soldiers returning from Vietnam were cast away by society because of the fact is they looked down upon them, and they're saying, you know, just get away from us sort of thing. Go and get just go somewhere else in society. They're still continuing to do that at this time?
Yes. You know, it's sad. I mean, the number has already exceeded in deaths. After combat, you know, these people are coming back and they're killing themselves, and no one is hearing about this. And the numbers that they project or say, I think we're over 4,000 now. So that's numbers that we know have already killed themselves more than that. I mean, that says a lot. You know, why would a veteran have to come back to after being over there homeless? No job, no way of making a living, home life being destroyed, and they end up killing themselves. It's something's wrong here.
And I'd like to quickly add there, Leonard, I was going on a protest here in Vancouver with Betty Kay. She ran for mayor. And this one young gentleman was yelling out. He was basically was talking about the homeless, how you know, don't help them because they're. We were protesting for better housing for the poverty, the people that are in poverty at this time in Canada, and what happened? This young gentleman yelled out, going, you know, they're all alcoholics, and I went up and I went and talked to him, and he said, well, send them all off to war. And what happens is people have to realize in Canada it is a lot of people, there are a certain percentage of people that are veterans. They're in that at this time. So this young gentleman saying, oh, round the veterans back up again and you're suffering from past, you know, injuries that the government inflicted upon them and send them right back out again. I say to this gentleman right here, you are nothing but a chicken hawk. And what happens is, in my opinion is that you should be having your handcuffs slapped on your back and you should be thrown out of Canada all to begin with. And that's just my humble opinion, though.
They can be very, very selfish when they can sit back and be armchair quarterbacks and watching things from a distance in a safe place. You know, those people who have seen this horrible stuff and know what it's like to take it. I mean, you taught, you know, as children, you know, don't die, shall not kill, you know, steal and all these things. The next thing you know, you're doing it. You know, you're sent to another country, you dropped off somewhere else in the middle of something that you know nothing about, and you have to do these things to come home. And then once you do your job like they tell you to do, and then you just kick to the curb like you're nothing.
Well, I hate to cut you off there, Leonard. I'm so sorry, but it looks like we ran out of time. And what happens is, I was wondering in closing if you could leave some contact information or any website for our listening audience to visit. And also, I say to our listening audience, please send a letter to Leonard and tell him that, you know, he is a human being. We have to start treating all people as human beings. We have to start saying to the neocons and chicken hawks that, look, we don't want your wars anymore. If you want your war, go fight your war yourself. We don't want you anymore.
That's right.
So I wonder if you could leave the contact information, Leonard?
Yes, my email address is LCSHELTON, the number 8, at yahoo.com. Is there anything, any other information I can give out there?
A website that, like the RAC Veterans Against website, the Cleveland branch, I know that you're a part of?
Yes, you can contact me also at ivaw.org. And you can also contact me on MySpace at IVAW Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, thank you so much. That's Leonard Shelton. He's a 20-year combat veteran from the Marine Corps, and he was over in the first Gulf War, and he also did a stint over in Kosovo. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. My name is Reginald Angus Argue. You've been listening to the Monday Brown Bagger.